Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the INFJ Whisperer podcast, where I dissect all things INFJ. You are not alone anymore. There are others like you.
I hope that you're doing amazing wherever you are in the world. My name is Boom Shaka and I welcome you to my channel. As always, I'm really grateful that you're listening, subscribing and commenting. I really appreciate the support. And if you have any questions about dating an INFJ or being an INFJ, then put it in the comments below and I'll try to do a video about it. In this one, I wanted to speak to you about avoidant attachment styles. Now, I'm not an expert, I'm not a psychologist, and I am definitely not trained in this. But I read a lot about it and obviously watched videos on it. And particularly, I wanted to speak to you about the avoidance style because I think that is something that's pervasive in the INFJ style of doing relationships. Now, I'm talking about an unhealthy INFJ or a developing INFJ, someone that's still a little bit immature and still kind of learning about themselves as an INFJ and growing into themselves as an INFJ and hasn't really truly reached that point where they can have healthy, mature relationships. I believe that it takes an INFJ at least until their 30s to have a healthy relationship because it takes them that long to understand themselves, to believe in themselves, to believe in their intuition and their superpowers, and to love themselves. It takes us a while to get there because we have to get over a lot of hurdles. I would say that I'm almost in my 40s, 2 more years or a year and a half, and then I will be 40. And I know that even now, I have very much avoidant attachment styles when I get into a relationship. Even if it's just with my family or if it's a friendship, I know that this is the tendency I have. So obviously, I'm still working on it. Thankfully, I'm aware of it. And that's obviously the best step forward, right? Because if you're completely clueless about this and you're going about all relationships, avoiding everyone and pretending to be cold and unemotional, then obviously that's not going to work out. So that's why I wanted to do this video, because if you are an INFJ and if you're noticing that you don't have a healthy relationship pattern, which is pretty common, I mean, it's okay, don't worry about it, you'll get there. Because a lot of INFJs do, and a lot of them will message me saying, you know, I'm in my 50s and finally I have a really good relationship, healthy and everything's perfect. And so it might take you 50 years to get there, but you will. But for now, it's really important for you to know that you might be holding on to certain avoidant attachment styles because of what happened in your childhood, or because in general you don't trust the universe, that you don't trust people, because you've had relationships where you couldn't trust the person, or perhaps, you know, you just in general have this kind of cynical view toward the world and you just think that, okay, the only person I can rely upon is myself, and you're hyper independent. Again, it could be a trauma response to your childhood, whatever happens with your parents. There's a lot of reasons for it, right? And I'm not going to start psychoanalyzing everything that you do, but the essential truth of it is that from all the INFJs that I've noticed and talked about and spoken about and listened to, I noticed that this is definitely one of those patterns that we repeat in our relationships, that we are avoidant rather than healthy, of course, but avoidant is the way we do things. And it's a typical thing that, you know, if we're afraid of being in a relationship and if we're afraid of the person or if we're afraid of intimacy, instead of actually, you know, what other people would do, like talk about it and say, you know, I like you, I think I like you, but I'm really scared of this relationship thing. So, you know, can we just take it slow? Instead of doing that, what INFJs will do is either they'll run away and stop talking to the person. It happens so many times. I mean, I get messages from non-INFJs all the time saying, I was doing so well with this INFJ. It was going really well. The relationship was perfect. We were doing great. And all of a sudden, they just disappeared. And it happens over and over and over again. They're mystified. And I don't know what to tell them because I'm like, I understand. Because obviously the person, the INFJ, got scared. Now, whatever they were scared of particularly, I don't know. But they were scared because it was getting to a point where the relationship was going to get serious. And at that point, either you say, okay, I'm going to stick with this and I'm going to be courageous enough and I'm going to be brave enough and handle it. Or you say, okay, I think I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe this person's going to leave me anyways. So why don't I leave first? And then you run in the opposite direction, right? It could also happen that the person that we're with, you know, they might have done a couple of things that we didn't like and we didn't say anything about it because we don't talk about things. We don't communicate with people, unfortunately. We just hold it inside of us and then we pretend or assume that they're going to know that they did something wrong. They don't know. You have to tell them. But we assume that they know. And then we door slam them. And so then, again, we're avoiding the situation, avoiding the relationship. Now, I'm not saying that every INFJ is going to be like this. And if you're in a healthy relationship, good for you. And I'm really, really happy because I really want more INFJs to be in happy, healthy relationships. I think we're great in relationships. And we're really loving and giving and kind. And if we could get into healthy relationships, I think it'd be really good for us because we end up otherwise being bitter, cynical, lonely, and isolated, right? So, of course, I want you to be in a relationship like that. But the first step to figuring out to being in a healthy relationship is to figure out, okay, what are my patterns, negative patterns that I have when I get into a relationship that's unhealthy, right? Or you might have codependent strategies, or you might have a strategy of clinging to the person and becoming obsessive. Or you might have a strategy of pretending like the person doesn't exist and letting them come to you, playing hard to get. Whatever your strategy is, it doesn't really matter. But most of the time, INFJs end up being avoidant. Which means that, you know, we pretend like, oh, you know, it's not important to us. This relationship, I don't really care about it. They might stay, might go, who cares, right? I'm good enough on my own. Maybe you are, maybe you're not, but we tell ourselves these things. We'll also pretend like we're cold and unemotional, so if the person gets upset about something. INFJ males do this very well, actually. INFJ females are not so good at this, but INFJ males are very good at becoming very cold and unemotional. So much so that the person might think that that they don't even care about them. That, oh, maybe this person actually doesn't even like me. I guess we're not in a good relationship that they care about me. I guess we should break up. And this is what happens a lot of times to INFJ males, is that the person will be like, well, you know, he was very loving and kind at first, and then suddenly he changed, and he was so cold, and I thought maybe he didn't like me anymore. Happens with INFJ females as well, but not so much as INFJ males because they are better at it. They're better at shutting themselves down. Whereas INFJ females, a lot of times, they will get, you know, weepy and cry and clingy and anxious. But a lot of times, INFJ males are definitely just avoidant. They're like, I'm cold, I'm unemotional, I don't need you, you can go away at any time, and I'll be totally fine, right? INFJ females can do pretty similar things as well. I know I've done this in the past. And then finally, what also happens is that because we pretend like we don't need to be in a relationship, a lot of people end up saying, okay, well, I guess if you don't need me, you know, I want to be needed, right? Then I guess I'm going to go find someone who needs me, right? And that's why a lot of people are in a relationship as well. It can, yes, end up being codependent, but a lot of times people are in a relationship because they need the person. And they want that other person to need them as well. It has to be a back and forth. But what happens with INFJs is we don't give them that back and forth. We're like, well, yeah, I guess. I mean, it's nice that you're around. I like hanging out with you. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're here or not. You know, I'll be happy enough doing my projects and working on my things anyway. So the other person kind of thinks, oh, I guess they don't really care about me. And then they leave. Or, you know, they end up kind of like pushing a little bit and becoming a little clingy and wanting, you know, kind of testing you to see, oh, if I become like this, you know, if I leave, are they going to be upset about it? If I stay and cling, what are they going to do about it, kind of thing. Like, so there's kind of these games that happen because we're not honest about what's going on with us internally. It's interesting because this happens not only in you know, partnerships and in intimate relationships, but also in familial relationships and friendships, right? And recently, my sister was staying with me in Bali, and then she left to go back home to Toronto. to her home. And, you know, I was very, like I am always, cold and aloof. And she was leaving. I'm like, oh, good, you know, have a great trip. Awesome. Perfect. And I did a TikTok video after about how I was actually really feeling. I was like, oh my gosh, don't go. I really like hanging out with you. I don't want you to go. You know, I like it, but I don't know. I mean, I'm happy that you're going because I can be alone again, but also I don't want you to go. And I kind of did this kind of TikTok video and I sent it to her. And she's like, is this what you were really feeling like? I mean, you were not cold and aloof. Like, you were not happy that I was leaving because it felt like you didn't even care. And it's kind of interesting to me because I was like, no, I actually do care. I was actually really upset that you're leaving. I mean, of course, I'm happy to have my alone time, but I really was upset that you were going. And it would have been nice, like, we really had fun together, and it would have been nice to have some more time together. And so it's really interesting to me because this is a person that knows me best out of all the different people in the world. Well, one of two people, I would say. And my sister, and there's another person, my friend, who knows me best, but you know, she is supposedly supposed to know me best, right? Supposedly. And she still didn't get the fact that we are like this, that INFJs are like this, and I'm like this, that, you know, I don't show my emotions and I keep it all to myself. And even in such a strong, deep relationship as with my sister, she doesn't get it either, because it's just, they get used to the fact that we are cold and robotic sometimes with our emotions. And I mean, it's a defense mechanism, of course, right? I'm not saying that we do it because it's fun for us. No, we're doing it because we are protecting ourselves from whatever intimate relationship will bring us, because we've had a lot of hurt in the past, or we're trying to prevent hurt in the future, or both. And so, you know, of course, it's a defense mechanism. It doesn't mean that it actually is a good defense mechanism, that it works, or that it's actually useful. In fact, a lot of times it's a terrible thing, because it keeps people away from us and it doesn't allow our relationships to get deeper, which means that we always end up with superficial relationships, which is something that we hate as an INFJ, but then we end up doing it to ourselves, right? So I wanted to share this with you because, of course, I've been observing myself in this madness for the last, whatever, 10 years that I've been in relationships or going in and out of it and with my family. And, you know, at first I'd always blame them because I'd like, it's your fault, you don't understand me. Then I understood that they can't understand me because, first of all, I don't explain myself. But also, it's very hard to understand a person who doesn't show their emotions, you know, out on the surface and then pretend like they're cold and aloof all the time. So you have to really either explain it to them or send them TikTok videos. Or, you know, communicate, talk to them about it. And of course, talk to yourself about it. Journal and try to figure out what is your tendency and how do you repeat yourself in the relationship over and over again. Because until you keep on repeating those tendencies, you're going to have the same relationships over and over again. And then eventually you're going to be like, ah, relationships, they're terrible. I'm never going to do them again. It's because you're repeating the same relationship over and over again with different people with the same pattern. Of course, it's going to be annoying. So then once you figure out, okay, I'm an avoidant attachment style, or I'm an anxious avoidant attachment style, or whatever you're fearful avoidant, you know, whatever it is for you, then you can start using that information and start building up a relationship that is free of all of these encumberments, right? It's free of all these chains, and you can start building a relationship that's healthier, and over time, as healthy as possible, right? It's never going to be perfect, but it can get there, I'm sure. Because I know lots of INFJs who are in healthy relationships, long-term healthy relationships. It's not impossible for us. It's just that we have to start, you know, building from the foundation, upstanding from where we are right now and build, and learning about that and then building from there, right? Because we're not just going to end up in a healthy relationship automatically, automagically, right? It has to happen with work. It'll take a little bit of work. This is something I guess a lot of us don't want to do as INFJs. Yeah, very long video already, but hopefully this is helpful, and let me know what you think about it. Let me know what your attachment style is, and, you know, how did you figure that out, and all of that. I'd love to hear from you. And again, I'm really grateful for your support. I will see you the next time around. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to put a face to the voice, you can check out my YouTube channel, Boom Shaka. Bye for now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.